Good morning, everybody. Well, I stuffed my wires back in my pocket. They all decided to jump out at once here. I don't want to hang my arm up or anything. It's good to see all of you this morning. Glad that you're here. Glad to have the church family together. Glad to have visitors with us today. And so I'm a little concerned. Brother Raymond brought up a Bible for me. And I think he wants a small message, a short message or something. But you're getting the whole works, okay? Anyway, it's been a great week. Some of you know Sally and I took off about 3 days, ran down to the southern part of the state to see part of her family and some of her old friends. Some of our friends, and we're back. But I think I wore her out. So she's recuperating today. Many years ago, there was a preacher that had received quite a few letters from children, and he decided to kind of put together a collection of some of those letters, and here are some of those letters that he received. Dear Minister, I know that God loves everybody, but he never met my older sister. Dear Minister, I would like to bring my dog to church on Sunday. She is only a mutt, but she's a good Christian. Dear Minister, I like to read the Bible, but I would read it more if they put it on TV. Dear Minister, please say a prayer for the president, even if he is Republican. Dear Minister, I would like to go to heaven someday because I know my big brother won't be there. Dear Minister, I'm sorry I can't leave more money in the plate on Sunday. I guess he heard my sermon last week. I can't leave any more money in the plate on Sunday, but my father didn't give me a raise in my allowance. Could you give a sermon about a raise in my allowance? It would help the church get more money. All kinds of interesting little stories and prayers of children, and sometimes they're a little bit funny, and sometimes it's just plain hilarious. And yet sometimes you see in those prayers they realize that it's not just up to the minister, it's also up to God to help out in some way. So who do you turn to when you have a problem? Where do you go when you have an issue, when you have something that is even joyful or sorrowful, or you need some relief? Is God in the last thing that you think of, in the middle of the process of thinking, or is he the first one that you go to? And how do you go to? How do you approach the perfect Almighty God? Are we even allowed to talk to God? You know, in some religions, you're not even allowed to say the name of the God, and any type of disrespectful thing, of course, would result in your death. I'm not suggesting we should say anything bad about God, but we are allowed to speak about God, to talk about him. We're going to briefly review the word on prayer. We're going to look at just a few of the verses that are found in the Bible that talk about prayer and regarding some of the key features about prayer. It's not going to be everything about prayer, but some of the major things that we need to be focused on. Appreciate Brother Ted sharing with us the acrostic acts on how you can pray, things that we should be praying about. There are many additional passages in the Bible about prayer, and so I encourage you to read your Bible, to examine what the Scripture says about how to talk with God, what to talk about when you're talking with God. And for some of you, this is going to be just a reminder, a quick refresher course. For others, maybe there's something in your prayer life that you're missing. And so I want to encourage you to examine your prayer life. Maybe, you know, sometimes people will say, well, it seems like my prayers are just hitting the ceiling. They bounce right back. God isn't hearing what I'm praying about. Well, maybe there's something going on in your prayer life that you need to address, something you need to correct in your life, in your relationship with God. There are several illustrations throughout Scripture, and I would encourage you to continue studying, continue reading God's Word, and learning more of how we associate with God. Before we begin this message, though, let's take a moment and ask God's presence to be with us to help us out. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for caring about us, and we thank you that you are reigning supreme over this universe. You're the one who gives each one of us life and breath. You're the one who has planned our future. You have put our bodies together. You're the one who continues to provide oxygen for us, strength. According to your word, you are the source of all that is good. And so we thank you and praise you that you are Almighty God. We do ask for your direction, your inspiration, your wisdom to touch our minds, our lives. Help us to continue to mature spiritually in a way that will please and honor you. Watch over us and care for us. We have raised before your throne prayer concerns already, and as we continue to do so, we trust that you will answer each of these requests, these prayers, these praises, according to your plan. Lead us and guide us in these coming moments as we unfold just a few of the passages of your word that talk about our relationship with you in prayer. Guide us and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at the scriptures, we're going to run into quite a few passages. I'm not going to read every one of these passages. I've tried to put down the references in your notes there so that you can go back and re-study, reread these passages. I'm going to just highlight some of these and briefly comment regarding them. Our very first point is in regarding to prayer, which a lot of people will ask question, well, what in the world is prayer? What actually is prayer? Prayer is one form of communication. That's pretty much it. It's a form of communication. A dictionary will explain to you several aspects of how to pray. It's basically either two people or two groups or two parties of one type or another communicating between each other. The parties involved may be a combination of the people, it may be a combination of groups, it may be a combination of praying to the gods of the world created by humanity, or as the scripture presents to us, it's a communication with Almighty God, who is the creator of all things, the one who gives us life. Jesus warned about what not to do in prayer. And we had this passage read at the opening of service. I don't know how many of you were listening. I hope you weren't asleep at that point. From Matthew chapter 6, the first few verses talks about Jesus warns about practicing righteousness before people. And he warns about not praying in front of other people, trying to get their attention. Now, if you want their attention, that should be your focus. But don't claim that you're praying to God if you're trying to get people's attention. And that was what the problem was with the people in Jesus' day. They were trying to show off how righteous they were in front of people instead of turning to God in prayer. So Jesus gives the warning about what not to do. Avoid trying to please and impress people. Those that want real help are going to earnestly seek help from the only one that really can give it, and that's Almighty God. We should seek God's audience in His way, in private conversation, in clear words, in clear sentences, from what is in the depth of our heart as we speak to God of what we understand of the situation. Jesus gave us a sample prayer to outline important features of prayer. And that is what our text is today in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, picking up after what Jesus warned not to do. So let's read those verses, Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15. Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Now, in this passage, a lot of people think that they need to be quoting this and repeating this prayer all the time. If you're doing that sincerely and really expressing each phrase sincerely, then that's all right. But if you're just going through the repetition of repeating it without actually taking it to heart, then you are actually violating what Jesus said in the verses just previous. Avoid vain repetitions. Just repeating something does not make it work. Over and over and over again, that is not the answer. So, how many of you had heard that prayer before? You know, and a lot of times we will say it even in a group setting. And how many of you learned it, debts or transgressions? You know, is there always that little confusion when you're repeating in a group? So just repeating that together, there's power in that if we're doing it from the heart. But if we're doing it just to repeat it for repeating's sake, just to say the words, God says he's not very happy with that. That is vain repetition. We see in this prayer, the model prayer that Jesus gave us, several factors, and some have subdivided this prayer into four basic areas. The first is the praise of God. We see the second portion deals with requests for yourself. Give us this day our daily bread. We see in the third part of it the request for other people. And then we see that the prayer concludes with a thanksgiving to God for what he does. In the praise and the thanksgiving, we see actually a reflection of an attitude of gratefulness on the part of those that are praying. Are we truly grateful for a God that we can go to? And are we grateful for the answer that he's going to give us as a result of our prayers? The other aspect of it is we need to be a people of loving God and loving people as we make supplications, as we make the requests for ourselves and for others. And hopefully we're not just thinking about ourselves. God, help me today. What about the people around you? Your spouse, your children, your neighbors, your enemies. None of you have enemies, do you? No? Oh, okay. Anyway, those people that just kind of rub you wrong as you're going through the day, we need to pray for them as well. We are called to pray for our leadership of our country, down through the local leadership, pray for the church. There's so many things that we are taught to pray about and pray for in the Scripture as we grow in our love for God and for humanity, as we try to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you limit yourself just to saying this prayer, then you're missing out on many other aspects that the Scripture also teaches us about prayer. Jesus did not just say this prayer all the time. If you go to John chapter 17, he has a totally different prayer that he prays before he goes to his crucifixion. But it is still a valuable, important prayer. And as we move through the Scriptures over and over again, we see little snippets of prayers, the thoughts of prayers, ideas of prayers. Sometimes it just says, "And I prayed." And that's all you know. So what were the words? What the words were was not the important thing, is the fact that they went to God and sought God's help. We pray to God because we need His help with everything. It's not just with some things, but with everything. Now, some people think they've got the world by the tail, that they're a self-made person, that they can pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. Who gave them the boots? Who gave them the straps? Who gave them their body? It was God. Everything belongs to God, the Scripture teaches. So we pray to God because we need His help in every aspect of our life. The very first prayers of men are mentioned in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. As people wandered away from God, they realized they needed God's help, and they called out to God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it indicates that God desires and appreciates recognition of all that He does. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we are told that God promises us a reward for those who diligently seek Him. If we're seeking God, He will reward us. But if we're not seeking God, what do you expect to get? Do you deserve God's service? Does God have to serve you like your slave? If you got that attitude, then you've got some major problems. We are here to serve God. God is not here to serve us. But because of His love, He does serve us. With His love, we will learn to not only serve God, but we will also serve others. Let's diligently seek Him and receive His reward. Jesus encourages us to pray to God, our loving Father. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, just shortly after what we are looking at, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be what? Given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." So here again, another passage, Jesus is talking about our relationship between us and God, our prayer life, that we be asking, seeking, and knocking for His guidance, for His provision, for His wisdom, for all things that He has for us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul directed Timothy to pray and to intercede, to give thanks for all men, for all people, for everybody around us, for those of the past, for those of the present, for those of the future, for future blessings, for future trials, for future hardships, for the hardships that are taking place right now. Is it easy to give thanks for hardship? We usually don't go that direction. But God says, be thankful because those situations help build our character, help build our trust in God. And most of the time, we don't go that direction. We think, I don't need this. I don't want this. How many of you like pain? If you like pain, we need to talk after church, okay? Pain is something we avoid. We don't like pain. And God gives us reasons to not like pain. But in the relationship field, it helps build us in our trust and reliance upon God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 and 18 tells us to pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks for God. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. in everything to give thanks. We don't always go that direction, do we? And yet that is the call of God in righteousness, and we do so through prayer, turning our thoughts to God, seeking God's will. Prayer is what we need to do. Communicate with God, talk with God all the time. Point number two, this is a two-point sermon, so yes, it might be a little Bible. Because we're skipping over, we're not reading every one of these verses. So you're going to have time this afternoon to do extra Bible study. Amen? Oh, all right, yeah, okay. The second point is that God identifies some conditions for effective prayer. Now, a lot of times we think, well, no. This idea that we're not saved by works. No, we're not saved by works, but God expects us to work at our salvation. We are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But then we are saved to do his good work, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. So part of that work is learning more about what God wants us to do. Part of that is learning how he wants us to be in our prayer, to be active in our prayer life. God will not be controlled by any human being, nor will he be treated like a Santa Claus, handing out whatever you dream up, whatever you fancy. So in your prayer life, are you treating God like he's the great giver and he's going to give you everything you ask for? Because after all, that's what Jesus said, right? When we pull it out of context, that's what Jesus said. But Jesus also said you need to be obeying God. So what is it we need to be obeying God about? We must pray with a pure heart and clean hands. This is a teaching that goes clear back to the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 66. If we don't have pure hearts and clean hands, if we're not doing the right things, is God going to listen to a person that is violating every one of his rules? No. He wants us to be a people trying to live for him with pure hearts and clean hands. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, that men are to lift up holy hands without wrath or disputing. If you've got an issue with somebody else, a disagreement, that disagreement, that frustration, especially in the church family, that is going to hinder your prayer life. You're not going to be coming to God with a clear conscience, a pure heart, clean hands. And so we are called to remedy, to correct our differences among the church family in order to come to God with that cleanliness that he wants us to have. God is holy, and he expects those coming to him to be holy and committed to obeying God, putting God in first place in all things. Anything that we know that is sin in our life has to be confessed to God in order for us to be healed by God before he can answer our prayers. So if you know of things that you've been doing wrong or have done wrong in the past, you haven't confessed it, you haven't corrected it, that may be that ceiling that you're hitting to where your prayers are not getting to God. God is saying, I'm not listening until you straighten up your life. Every one of us has a different challenge, different problems. And I can't tell you what yours is. You know what it is. God gives you a conscience. The Spirit of God is working on your conscience, and he's telling you, you haven't fixed this yet, and what are you doing about it? Well, I'll do it another day. Mañana never gets here, does it? We need to take care of our sin now so that we can have an open communication with our Father. The second point is that believers must hear and obey God's will without any doubt. This is a statement of 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Do we really believe in what we are praying about is actually God's will, that God would be pleased with our prayer? Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9 warns that those who disobey God's will not receive his answer, or his answer will be no, basically, or not now. So are we obeying God's will without any doubts, fully accepting his word, what the scripture says? Can't read my notes sometimes, so I'm a little paused here. The Lord calls us to always work within his will, and he actually says in that passage in Proverbs 28, that if we are outside of his will and we try to pray with the attitude that, oh, we're a holy people, those prayers are an abomination to God. What's the word abomination means? It's hated. God hates the prayers of people who claim to be holy, that are not changing their ways, that are not submitting to the will of God. So it's very important that we fully change our ways, submitting to God. When we realize there's something in our life that we need to serve God, we need to change that to become servants within his will, so that we are not an abomination in his presence. That's serious. God loves us. He wants to give us his goodness. He wants to bless us. But when we refuse to change, that shows we are not making him master of our life. A third aspect is we are to pray humbly with our heart inside of God's will, that we would be thinking the way Jesus thought. Jesus is our example. He came into this world as our example on how to live in a corrupt world a righteous life. Jesus prayed for the release from the coming torture that he was going to face there in the Garden of Gethsemane. How many times did he pray? Three times. But not my will, yours be done. So Jesus prayed that God's final overall plan be fulfilled. We have that in Matthew chapter 26. When we ask according to God's will, he does hear us. We are promised that in 1 John 5. God hears the prayer of his children, those who are truly seeking his will, his way. The Holy Spirit and Jesus are also busy in the process of praying. A lot of times we think we're in this on our own. No, we're not. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. And what happens? The Holy Spirit is praying in our behalf. He knows what needs to be said, and he's speaking for us. And then who is standing between us and God as our mediator? It's Jesus himself. Romans chapter 8 talks about these important blessings that we have in Jesus Christ as servants of God. God cares about us. God is helping us. God is helping us in our weakness when we don't know what to say, don't know how to pray. He knows what needs to be done. And we need to thank him for the answers that he will give. We must pray fervently and with persistence. We are taught this in James, and it reminds us in that passage of Elijah's prayers when he prayed that the rains stop. And the rains did what? They stopped for 3 years. And then it was his prayers back to God, asking them to restart before the rains came. And boy, did they come. Kind of like around here, you know, we were talking a little while ago about the rain. Sometimes it just seems like, will they ever get here? And then all of a sudden, whoosh, here they come, gully washers. And we see that in the story of Elisha, that the power of his prayers stopped the rains and then restarted them fully and completely. Do you believe that your prayers will do that? I remember years ago, I think I've told this story before, we lived down in Alamogordo, and it was in the early years of our ministry. The boys were just little guys, 7, 6, somewhere in that range. And the forecast was dry as a bone. No rain in sight, and we were just talking around the house, boy, it sure would be nice to have some rain. And Aaron and Nathan picked up on that. And at our evening prayer, they prayed that it would rain. And the next day, guess what? God sent rain. And I just, wow. The innocent prayers of those who truly love God are heard. Let's get some innocence going on around here so we can get some rain going, okay? Persistence is an important illustration. Jesus even taught it in some of his parables about being persistent as you approach those who are in control. Who's in control of everything? God is. And so we need to be persistent. We need to make sure we're humble. We need to approach him with righteousness, holiness, and all these things, but be persistent. Are we going to be persistent in praying for what is good and right and true, just and holy? We must be unselfish in our motives. James chapter 4, verse 3 tells us, God does not answer prayers motivated by selfishness. If we're only asking about what we're concerned about, how does it affect the people around us? How does it affect other groups of people? How does it affect the witness of Jesus Christ? There are many factors that sometimes we don't think about, and we need to. We need to pray with an open, clear mind about what would please God. And God knows the motivation of our heart, and so sometimes those things will hold back our prayers. We are to pray in the name of Jesus, in his authority, by his power. You know, when you stop and think about it, the only reason we are allowed to approach God today is only because of Jesus. We are only able to approach God through his sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 relates that Jesus is the only access. Jesus said he is the door. He has said he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. We are only able to approach God because of Jesus. Jesus who shed his blood to cover our sins forever. That is what gives us accessibility to God. Jesus is our one and only mediator. He is our representative to God. And if we can't approach God through Jesus, we have no other way of getting to God. You can't spin a prayer wheel. You can't count enough beads. You can't say enough words. There's no way except through Jesus. There's no other name, no other power by which we can approach God. Because of the cleansing power of Jesus, we are able to boldly enter the presence of God. It's only because of Jesus. Jesus tells us to believe in the prayers that we express. Do we really believe that the prayers we say are what is right? Mark chapter 11 tells us we've got to put our belief and trust in what we are saying is the right thing. It's based upon other scriptures, upon the truths of God, upon the will of God. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 encourage us to not waver in our faith, to not fluctuate. Well, God, I don't know if it should have rained today or not. I don't know if to pray for rain or not. God, I don't know if I should pray for healing or not. God, I don't know if you're able to do that. Is that what we're saying? Sometimes that's what we say in our prayers because we don't believe it is truly possible that God can't do it. So that is wavering in our faith. You know what? God always answers our prayers. He says, yes. Sometimes he says, wait. And what's the third one? No. That's not what needs to be done. So God always answers our prayers. Never forget that. Something that is brought up in the end of this passage we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, talks about forgiving others. We are to pray with a forgiving spirit. If we don't forgive those who've harmed us, who've treated us unjustly, who've done bad things, God says he's not going to listen. How many times has God forgiven us? How many times has God been gracious to us? Because of his grace, because of his mercy, we are allowed salvation in Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus paid for all sin, but that doesn't give us a license to continue in sin. We are to be changing, being transformed into the likeness of Jesus, becoming more like Jesus day by day, and that includes learning how to forgive people who've done bad things to us, against us. Now, that doesn't give us a right to continue on in doing bad things, and so other scriptures tell us how to rectify, fix our problems, our differences. And if you've got issues with fellow Christians, get it straightened out. Get rid of that ceiling that's stopping your prayers. Get rid of those hindrances, those walls that are keeping you from joining in the unity of God, the church family, in seeking the glorification of Jesus Christ. Prayer, it needs to be a central part of our life. Praying to who? Not to each other, but praying to God, our Father in heaven, who is the Almighty One. He knows all things. He knows what we're thinking about. So why do we need to pray? Sometimes so it's wake up us up to get our thoughts on the right things. God wants us to be smart people, intelligent people, honoring him, to be alert to what's going on. God, who is the source of all of our life and our breath, he's watching every person to see how we will respond in his love and in his care. He wants us to approach him through Jesus. He wants to hear from his children, and we are his children. Through Jesus Christ. We need God's wisdom. We need God's help. We need God's provision. We need his salvation. We need everything that God has to offer. Because without him, we have nothing. We are nothing without God. Pray without ceasing. Stay in touch. There's an old song that goes, I keep in touch with Jesus, he keeps in touch with me. And so we walk together in perfect harmony. Are you in perfect harmony with Jesus, with God your Father? You do that through prayer. If you need to give your life to the Lordship of Jesus, if you've been holding back on making Jesus master of your life, or if you have some issue that you need help with, please don't hold back. Come and talk to one of the elders, myself. We'd be glad to visit with you, to help you, guide you in scriptural teaching. But walk with Jesus. Stay in prayer. How often? Always. Continually. Pray without ceasing. Next time I see you talking to yourself, I'm trusting you're talking with Jesus. Okay? If I see your lips moving, I'm going to believe that you're talking with Jesus. If you're not, let's talk, okay? Would you join me in a word of prayer? Thank you, Father, for your scriptures that lead us and guide us in your truth. We thank you that we are invited by you to come to know you, to speak with you, to talk with you. You've given us warnings, things to avoid. And I pray that each one of us will be true to your instruction in walking in righteousness and believing and trusting and learning more of your scriptures, your truth, allowing you to sink your roots of life deeper into ours so that we might be with you forever. Help us to prepare for eternity through Jesus, through your scriptures, through your Spirit leading and guiding us. We thank you for opening your door, and we praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus. Amen.